יהיו לרצון, אמרפי וגיוני בלפניך, אדוני, צורי וגואלי.
May the words of my mouth and thoughts of my heart be acceptable before you, O God, my rock and my redeemer.
Shalom all and welcome. Erev tov, buenas noches, bienvenidos to our kosher Torah school classes in the Torah of the Kabbalah, the teachings of Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, known to us as the Ben Ish Hai. We are learning in his book called Dat Utfuna, chapter 19. I am, of course, your host, Ariel Bar Tzadok. You find me online at koshertorah.com. That's where the Kosher Torah School, of course, is located. We are in the 11th class in this series, pretty much at the conclusion now of the 19th chapter of Dat Utfuna. You know, for those of you who have been following this series, you know that I have been offering this series free of charge to the general public so as to provide accurate, authoritative, relevant, and realistic Kabbalistic teachings to the general public. All too many of the Kabbalah teachings out there are unfortunately either misguided or misguiding or, in my opinion, horribly superficial. People will repeat what the books say without really having an understanding of what they mean. Years ago, way back in the early 1980s, my Rebbe Meir Levy, who was again the top Kabbalistic student of the head Kabbalist of Jerusalem, Rabbi Mordechai Sharabi, Aleihem Shalom, he told me that this was the case. He says, you have a lot of the great guys out there who they can quote to you chapter and verse, but when they go into understanding the depth, they don't really get it. Even the Ben Ish Hai, even here in Dat Utfuna, speaks to us about surface and depth. Now, we have been learning in our lessons about the relationship of the inner elements of the world, the inner aspects of the world, the Or Panimi, and the outer elements of the world, the Chitzoniut, right? Or Panimi and Or Chitzo, or the Kli, right? The light and the vessel. Well, this is the case, as he has been saying here, with everything. And everything includes Torah study, but that should be no surprise. We all know that to Torah study, there is what we call in Hebrew pshat, the simplistic, superficial level, and sod, the secret, if you will, Kabbalistic level. However, as we've been learning from the classes of Rabbi Ben Amol Zig in our Israel and Humanities series, we've also learned that to Torah, there is that Torah which is applicable within the context of the Jewish religion, and then there is that aspect of the Torah which is applicable universally. Essentially, the commandments make up the ritual religion of Judaism, which Jews can practice, whereas the teachings or messages of the Torah are indeed universal and applicable to all. In this respect, this is not only true at the pshat or superficial level of Torah and Judaism, it is also true at the Kabbalistic level. Again, even Rabbi Yosef Chaim speaks of what we call in Hebrew the pshat of sod and the sod of sod. Superficial readings of the Kabbalah and the true in-depth meaning of it. The superficial level permeates the internet. It's all out there. Everybody writes all the books, the big popular authors, the big schools and the like. And people buy into the myth, the mythology, the fantasy, because people like to be mystified. People like to be entertained. And as such, that's why that approach tends to be very popular. It's interesting. I read something related to this just this week about an Israeli
who reaches out to secular Israelis and brings them into synagogue to pray. And the people come in there who, remember, not religious, don't have a background, and they're praying, many for the first time. And he asked them, well, what did you think of the ceremony? What did you think of the prayers? Now, remember, Israelis are native speaking, right? Native Hebrew speakers. And as such, the prayers are the vernacular language which they speak every day. The romanticism of prayer in Hebrew doesn't exist for your Israeli. But what he discovered is something interesting. The Aramaic sections of the prayers that the people did not understand created an awe of mystery. And that is what people were attracted to, and that is what they enjoyed. So, for those who don't know Hebrew, to pray in Hebrew sounds mysterious and cool. But for those who know Hebrew, the Aramaic prayers sound mysterious and cool. In other words, that which is just above our understanding sounds mysterious and cool. Well, when we speak about shining the light, what we're doing is taking the mystery out of the mysticism and making it relevant. Or in Kabbalah speak, we're taking the light of Chochmah, the Mochin of Abba, and joining them or merging them with the Mochin of Bina. Now that sounds really mystical and Kabbalistic. And what it means practically is using the lights or the enlightenment of intuition and revelation and insight to give clear rational understanding as to what things really mean. This is how one must come to study Kabbalah and not to be, if you will, seduced by the mythology and the superficiality or the pshat of sod. You have to get to the sod of sod, its real meaning. It's exactly what I try to do here at Kosher Torah. I try to make things relevant, realistic, and understandable. That's why I'm teaching this material, and that's why I make it available to the public, because I very well know how people are. I know how, shall we say, it's hard for people to part with money. So if I try to charge for things, people have a big problem with that. So as to not put a stumbling block before the blind, I'll offer it for free. How then do I get financial compensation? I rely upon my student body. I rely upon the good graces, the donations, the kindness, and the charity of the Kosher Torah School public audience. And again, to you all, I thank you for your support. I'm here for you, and I trust God that you'll be here for me. So with no further ado, I have explained now the concept of the inner and outer lights in a very relevant, realistic application, which applies to us here and now. So don't go thinking that what we are discussing in this class or any of the other 10 previous classes has no practical application, because on the contrary, it does. We are learning here about the realities of ourselves, our world, our psychology, the inner and outer realities, and how they interact and complement one another. And now into our text, chapter 19. This is our 11th lesson. Ketav od Rabbeinu Zala Hashem b'Sha'ar Mem, quoting the Arizal, Rabbi Chaim Vital, if you will, again, from the 40th gate of the Etz Chaim in lesson 11. This is what it says. B'kol ha'olamot yesh pnimiyut v'chitzoniyut. In all of the different worlds, we said there is the inner side and the outer side. Inner essence, outer form. Ba'asiya hachitzoniut shel hem, hem ha'ofanim, v'apnimiyut hem ha'nefashot. In this Asiatic world, the chitzoniut, the external forms of things, are called the ofanim. And ofanim are the great wheels. The great wheels are a type of angel. And exactly what is an angel? Well, that's a very profound, deep teaching. And the inner side is what we call the nefashot, or the life force level soul. So now, let me explain just a wee bit. There are angels and there are angels. There are angels which are what we'll call sechelim nivdalim, independent and separate intelligences. Those are angels that kind of like the ones we know, Michael, Gabriel, and all the rest. But a point that's made very clear in Scripture is that God uses everything as his form of messenger, right? It says, Oseh rochot malachav. He makes the winds his messenger. God uses everything as his messengers. And the word, of course, messenger in Hebrew is malach, which we know to be angel. So, when we read about the Ophanim angels in Ezekiel's chariot, they sound in a way almost like forces of nature. The natural forces, maybe even natural laws, which underlie the movement of the activities of our physical universe. If indeed that is what Ophanim are, then rather than look at them as Sechelim Nivdalim, independent intelligences, we recognize them as the mechanical forces that God has created. And indeed, that is a point that Maimonides makes in his Mora Nebuchim, where in which he says all the forces of nature are angels. But within that is the soul. Now remember, a nefesh level of soul is what we'll call physical consciousness. In other words, your awareness of the world around you. And pretty much anything and everything that has sentience has a nefesh level of soul. Animals have it. Plants have it. We all have it. When it is an application to human consciousness, it's a personality orientation, wherein which one is pretty much focused on and only interested in the fulfillment of one's physical needs. And if you think about it, most people are at that level today. Most people really never go in depth to explore their emotional sides with the intent to completely reveal, understand, balance, harmonize their emotional state. And how many people will do that at the intellectual level? Certainly much fewer. Most people today are what we can call the proverbial meat and potatoes type of person. Nothing wrong with that. But that's what we call the nefesh level of soul. Everybody has that. All right, everybody's pretty much interested in, you know, having a full belly, having a warm place to sleep, taking care of business. Most people don't think deeper than that. And in our secular, unfortunately rather hedonistic cultures, that pretty much is the norm. Most people toy with other things, but no one ever really gets into them as deep. So we have, if you will, the forces of nature, which are called the chitzoniut of Asiya, and the element of the drawing of the life force energy, the nefesh level of soul, fulfillment of physical needs, inner element. Omnam neshamot elu be'erech hakolel. When we speak of the nefesh level of soul, let's be blunt now. It in of itself, as we know with everything, is subdividable into the five levels. So, we're speaking here of the general nefesh level. The Rabbi Chaim continues. Nefesh zo mitaleket l'chamisha bechinot. The level of the nefesh soul itself subdivides into the five levels called naran chai. Right? The nefesh ruach, neshama chai yichida. V'chamisha bechinot elu, in these five aspects, hem v'chamisha partzufim da'asiya. They represent, or even if you will, form the five sephirotic faces of Asiya. The kulam nefesh techlalot ha'olamot. And all of these are the general nefesh of the world. What does all of that mean? Real simple. Yes, simple. Remember we just said what the nefesh level is. Meat and potatoes kind of person, worried about their physical needs. Does that mean that somebody is so absolutely dense that they have no emotional feelings? Of course not. Does that mean that people at that level have absolutely no intelligence or intellect? Of course not. They have no spiritual inclination? Of course not. Why? Because at the nefesh level of soul, a nefesh consciousness, there is the nefesh level of that. There is the ruach level of that, the emotional level. There is the neshama level of it, the intellectual. There is the chaya level, the imaginative. And the yechida level, people like the spiritual. So each and every level has a representative factor, even at the nefesh level of consciousness. So if a person is at the basic simple level of a nefesh soul, of course they have all the emotional, intellectual, and imaginative spiritual pursuits like everybody else, but maybe not as deep, maybe not as intense. And essentially, when we say a person has to complete each and every level of soul, we discussed that in our Sha'ari Gilgulim series, that pretty much would translate in modern language into a person has to become individualized. In other words, completing elements and aspects of one's own personality, a transformation and growth of maturity, learning deeper levels. Remember we said earlier, there is the surface level and then the deeper level, just like we're talking here, Hitzoniut and Pnimiut. Well, the Nefesh level, that's the lowest level. Inside it are the deeper levels. So therefore, the fact that you have aspects of all of those deeper levels, even at the superficial level, show us that there is so much depth, even in the superficial level, for those who want to pursue it. Continuing. V'ken b'kol partzuf me'elu, yesh lo chamisha b'chinot niskal naran hai. Each and every one of these five general subcategories of personality and nefesh consciousness, each one of them could be subdivided into five themselves. So ela shechamisha bichinot elu. So what you have then with these five elements, all right? It states here, all right? Bichinot elu b'hayotam ba'arich. If you're at the arich partzuf level, then they would be called the yichida of the asiyah. And then you'd have five different levels at the Abba level, which is called the Chaya of the Asiya. Five different levels at the Ima level, which would be called the five levels of the Neshama. And then the five levels even at Zah, which would be called Ruach, and the five levels at the level of Nok, which would be called Nefesh. All of these would be the Naran Chai of the Naran Chai of the Nefesh. So we have a general category, a subdivision, and a subdivision. So the general levels of soul are five. In the lowest level, nefesh, you have a subdivision of the five, which is of the lowest one of the five. And even those five which make up the lowest one of the five is subdivided again. Well, gee, how many subdivisions can we have? Pretty much infinite. So therefore, to try to analyze exactly where a person's at, well, I'm at the nefesh level of the ruach, of the neshama, of the hayav, the yechida, of the nefesh, of the ruach, blah, 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 blah. Well, we don't have enough of our categorical distinction to be able to identify all these differences. But what we do have, and this is something we do know, are different personalities. Different orientations, different interests, or if you will, different strokes for different folks. Now, let's speak personally. You, my kosher Torah school body. Me, your teacher. I assume the fact that we are here together, we have some things in common. And if we were to engage in conversation, or if we were to be under the same roof, we would have many things in common based upon our mutual spiritual, religious, educational interests. Does that mean that we are going to agree on everything? I don't think so. We have a number of the ladies here in class. Ladies, all of you, you come here, all right, move in with my wife and I. And do you think that all the ladies are going to get together and have absolute perfect agreement with the way that we're going to do the interior decorating? This one wants shades. This one wants curtains. This one wants this color paint. This one does. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But what we have are different strokes for different folks. Now, let's apply this outside of the context of interior decorating and apply it to Torah study. How many different views and opinions and interpretations of religion are there? We know the big ones, Islam, Christianity, Judaism. Let's not go wagging fingers and say, well, you're wrong because your interpretation doesn't agree with my interpretation. Yeah, okay. Well, until God comes down and says whose interpretation God favors, all we can do is sit and argue with one another. I don't like to argue. I like to respect. So therefore, live and let live. Now let's apply within the context of Judaism or even Kabbalah. You have numerous different schools, numerous different points of view, numerous different orientations. Which one is the right one? We don't have a concept of the right one. We have a Naran High of a Naran High of a Naran High. That's already five divisions of subdivisions. So essentially, all have their place. All have their value. All have their attractors or detractors based upon the orientation of one's personality. And that is why we can and must and do respect all the different schools. That doesn't mean that we like them. That doesn't mean that we embrace them. But it means that we respect them in their place. And that is the appropriate example. You don't go into someone else's house and tell them how to do their interior decorating, right? It doesn't mean you have to like what they've done. You can not like it at all. Choose to go there or not go there. Same thing with Torah study. You can choose that you like an orientation or dislike an orientation. It is what it is. But just understand, everything has its place. Everything has its orientation. That is how we have to understand this. So he states here, Nimtza, we thus find that there are 25 different aspects in the details. Ach bichlalan kulam hem chamisha bichinot levad. But of the divisions and the subdivisions, only five general divisions, which are what we call the five partsufim. Five ways of looking at the face of God. What we call the partsufim, right? If you remember what those are, from above to below, Ari Chanpin in the Keter, Abba in Chokhmah, Ima in Bina, Za in the six attributes, Nok in Malchut. Gee, what does all that mean? Well, the long face of God, hidden and concealed in an area which we cannot know. That's what we call Ari Chor Keter. We call God Father in the imaginative faculty of Chokhmah. We call God Mother in the rational analytical aspect called Bina. We call God the small face in our emotional heart-based sixth spirit. And of course, God the Shekhinah, the divine presence within the context of our physicality, Malchut. That is simple. And that's how we have to understand these. However, continuing. Omnam keshina'arechim be'erecha ha'arba olamot biya. Lo yihiyu kulam rak bechinat nefesh be'erech klalut. All of these subdivisions of the nefesh in relationship to the higher levels are just all nefesh. Now here's an interesting question. Okay, let's speak and say that we have the five levels of the nefesh, and of course we know we have the five levels of the ruach. So let's say that my personality orientation is at the yetziratic level of the nefesh. Okay? How different is the yetziratic level of the nefesh from the asiatic level of the ruach? In other words, I just flipped them around. I flipped worlds and I flipped levels. All right? Gee whiz, how do I draw a line of distinction? How do I know the difference between one and the other? The only answer I can give is the context of depth or intensity. But how do we rationally analyze that? In all due respect, we can never know. And anybody who would ever try to demarcate and categorize these things as making an arbitrary division, we understand the general principle, we accept and acknowledge the general principle, but as regards to delineating specifics, totally unnecessary. Just understand the general rule, different strokes for different folks. Continuing. Nahazur al inyan derech klal bekitzur. Now let's return to the general matter in brief. Ki elu ha-chamisha bechinot shehem naran chai. These five levels, which we call the naran chai, they are, and again, here he's enumerating the five partsufim again, arich anpin, abba and ima, zer anpin and nok. Vehine, ha-yechida sheish benok ba dezada asiya, hu bechinat arich sheba. Let's say, for example, we're going to speak about the level of Nok. Nok of Zah, of Asiya. Again, that's our Nefesh level, like we've been talking about. Well, if we're going to refer to the Yechida level, that would correspond to that Partsuf called Arich. If we're going to refer to the Abba level, that refers to the soul level called Chaya. The element of Ima, again, corresponds to the Neshama. Zah corresponds to the element of Ruach, and the Nok is the Nefesh. All of these are, again, the general Nefesh level. Yes, the way people perceive God, which we call as a Sephirotic face, the way people seek to look at God, want to look at God, and do look at God, everybody's different. For some people, God is a happy singing Hasid from Eastern Europe. Yep, that's the way they perceive God. For others, God is a stern Middle Eastern sheikh. Everybody perceives God differently. What makes one different from the other? Personality, or in Kabbalah speak, the level of soul. Again, to contemplate higher or lower, better or worse, is completely irrelevant. Again, different strokes for different folks. This is also the case of Zah in the level of Asiyah. He has within him those five same levels of Arich, Abanima, Zah, and Nok, and they are all the Naran Chai within that level, and that would be called the Ruach level of Asiyah. That same rule would apply at the Ima level of Asiya, five levels therein. Again, Aricha, Ba'ima, Zah, and Nok. That's the Naran Chai level. That's all the Neshama level of the Nefesh of Asiya. Same thing at the Abba level of Asiya, five levels, five parts of Fim, Arich, Abba, Ima, Zah, and Nok. All of those are what we call the Naran Chai. All of those is the Chaya, general of the Nefesh of Asiya. Even at the Arich level, you have the five elements of Arich itself, Abba and Ima, Zah and Nok. Five different levels of the Naran Chai, all of them would be called the Yechida. So again, division, subdivision, subdivision. V'ken b'kol ha-bechinot ha-nizkarim sheyesh b'olam ha-asiya, nikra kulam nefesh. All of these are still called the subdivisions of Nefesh, and therefore part of the general Nefesh. The Nikraim Malchut, and together they are referred to by the Sephirotic name Malchut in relationship to all the other worlds. So whenever we're talking about the souls, this is called the penimiut, the internal element of the Asiatic world. In essence, personality. Because, interesting, you know the old saying, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, according to our spiritual understanding of things, the soul emanates first and gives rise to the form in which it manifests. That's a very profound and deep concept. I'm not going to get into it right now, but everything in creation has different forms to materialize different levels of consciousness. That's why we have different peoples, different races, different nations, and different cultures. Each one, using the Jungian term, represents a racial subdivision of the collective unconscious. And they are different from one another. That's a point very clearly made in Jungian psychology. Yes, groups of people think differently. They have different racial memory. They have different collective personality. We see this in cultures around the world. Bottom line, and this is one of the major political problems that we are facing today, is that here in the West, whether it be the United States or Europe, in the secular world, we endeavor to try to impose the secular world viewpoint on other cultures where in which such concepts are foreign to their personality. You can't beat a square peg into a round hole. It just doesn't fit. Even between cultures, which may be considered similar, like those of Mexico, the United States and Canada. Now, you could say Mexican-Americans, because we're all part of North America. Mexicans, Canadians, U.S. people all interact on a day-to-day basis. But there are cultural differences. Yes, there is a collective unconscious of the Canadian nation, even as there is of the Mexican nation, as there is of U.S. And they overlap, interact, etc., and so on. This is the levels and the subdivisions and the subdivisions. Things are different. Not one better or worse, right or wrong. Different. And worthy of our respect. Kol bechinot elu, yesh lem gam bechitzoniut ha'asiya. Now we've been speaking about personality, but Rabbi Chaim says also in the outside, where the external world of forms, you have the same types of subdivisions. These are called the ofanim, and the general levels of all the worlds. Omnam hem ba'atzman halakim l'chamisha partzufim al derech niskar bepnimiut. And these ofanim, these physical forms, remember we referred to them earlier as like natural laws and forces? They're subdivided equally in accordance to all of these subdivisions. Now, if you think about that, it's a very profound thing. Because not only do you have differences in orientations of personality, you have differences of forms and structure. Somebody is asking a question here in text. What of Jews who have no Jewish upbringing and only that of the cultural norms around them? Well, needless to say, we call that assimilation. And yet, interestingly, Jewish people in secular or other environments still seem to, even without any cultural or ethnic accompaniment, seem to be different in some size, shape, or form. I'm not going to get into that right now, but the difference is there, because there are things at the conscious, cultural, ethnic level, and then there are things at the unconscious level. That's just the way it is. Now, I'll take this to a level that many people might find uncomfortable. There are many people out there who say, I feel like I'm Jewish. I believe I have a Jewish soul. Maybe you do. Want to get uncomfortable? Let's get uncomfortable. Today, one of the great, in quote, civil rights issues are with regards to the discussion of gay rights, gay marriage and all the like. It's all over the place. We all know this. Well, one of the statements I have heard many gay people state is that I feel like I am a man or a woman in the body of the opposite. All right? Like a gay man might say, I feel like I'm a woman in a man's body. Some will respond saying, nonsense, garbage, blah, blah, blah. But according to the Kabbalistic understanding of things, it is taught that indeed male and female souls do incarnate in the bodies of others, just like it's taught Jewish and Gentile souls incarnate in the body of others. So if you can have a Jewish soul in a Gentile body, don't think that you can't have a female soul in a male body. Does that mean that we have, therefore, some spiritual justification for homosexual behavior? Well, the Torah prohibits homosexual behavior, and it's certainly not in my authority to be able to violate, you know, the Torah. But I understand the attraction. I respect individuals. And if they make a claim, I have to acknowledge that there might be some legitimacy to it, whether we like it or not. What those individuals choose to do with it, how they choose to express it in the light of the words of Torah, that's between them and God. That's not my concern. But I understand, and so should we all. Continuing. Nimtza, ki al derech ze yesh shtei bechinot bo olam ha-yetzirah. This aspect, inner, outer realms, same thing in the Yetziratic world. We said there's the inner element and the outer element. And the penimiyut, the inner element of the Yetziratic world, is what we call the ruchot, or the ruchin spirits. The external element, those are the angels. Then we have the same two elements and aspects, right? And they have, correlating to them, the five partsufim of Arich and Avanima and Za'anok. And to each and every partsuf, like we said, is subdivided again into the other five. And the five, Narad Chai, right? We have those in the Yetziratic realm, subdivided to 25, five by five, right? Just like we said with the Asiatic realm. And the five elements, again, all together in general, what do we call them? We call that the general realm of the Ruach level. And the partsuf corresponding the Yetziratic level would be Zerampin. That's the general definition and category of that level. And that's exactly how it is with the Bereatic realm. We have the same two elements and aspects, the inner and the outer. The inner aspects of the Bereatic realm we call the Neshama level of soul. The external is called the throne. We've discussed the Kisei HaKavod in other places. We don't need to get into it now. And that is where you have all the holy spirits that are referred to in the Heichalot section of the Zohar and Parsha Pikudei. I'm not going to get into that right now. Kol Achad Nehalak, and again, all of these are subdivided into 25 divisions, right? 5 divided by 5. All of those, again, are the Neshama level. And that's called the general Neshama level, corresponding to the Sefirat Binah, corresponding to the Partsuf Ima of that level. And that's how levels are. Everything within everything within everything. And he's just being, if you will, thorough here by explaining the same thing over and over at each of the levels. We're going to continue. This is exactly how it is at the Atzilutic level, where again you have the two different aspects. Remember we said inner aspect, outer aspect. The inner aspect of the Atzilutic level are the lights themselves and the essences that's within them. The outside is what we call the vessels of the Sefirot. And all these aspects are again divided into 25, 5 by 5, right? Narad Chai and the Narad Chai of each and every level of the Narad Chai all together. They are the Chaya, or the Chokhmah level, of all the worlds. And again, even to the highest world, you have the level of Adam Kadmon, or Arich, same thing, really. You have the two different elements and aspects, inner and outer. The inner element, that's the essence that's within it. The outer aspect, again, are the vessels. The Av Alpi She'adayin Be'erech Shara Olamot Einam Nikra'im Kilim. Now, at the level of the Keter, at the level of Ari Chanpin or Adam Kadmon, even though that level we really say there's no vessel there because it's too high and sublime to consider it a vessel. However, it is considered or called a vessel in relationship to the Penimiyut of itself. You have two different elements, an inner and an outer. So the outer element at the Keter level is called a vessel, even though from our relative point of view below that, it's not a vessel, it's all considered light. Fine. And each and every level has within it, each and every level. And again, those five would be called the level of the Yechida or the level of the Keter of all the different worlds. All right? This is why it says Reish Tikun, all right? About Arakahu Keter Ila'a. So, this is how it is. No matter what level we are at, there are all levels represented. Levels within levels within levels within levels. Again, the emphasis and importance is not to try to categorize these things, but just to understand the flow of it. Let me give you a correlative example. It is taught metaphorically, poetically, symbolically, that the 613 commandments of the Torah correspond to the 613 parts of the human body. Now, we discussed this in our Etz Chaim classes in Gate 50, where in which it's speaking more of the astral body than the physical body. But there are those who want to try to apply each of the commandments to a specific body part. Well, being that the 613 body parts have never been identified or enumerated, no one has ever bothered to categorize all 613 commandments and say, this corresponds to this body part, this corresponds to that. There are those who have addressed some of this moralistically, books like the Sefer Haredim, which would say this or that commandment corresponds to the eyes, because it says, and you shall look upon them. This or that commandment corresponds to the ears, because it says, hear, O Israel, etc. and so on. Okay, those moralistic and ethical observations, everybody can understand. But as for the details, it's superfluous. Why? Because you're dealing with metaphor, symbol, poetry, not prose. So walk away from understanding the divisions and the subdivisions and the subdivisions of the subdivisions again as just recognizing different strokes for different folks. And now, to conclude chapter 19 with the final paragraph. No. Ki kol ha-penimiyot she'esh bekol olam ve'olam elo ha-chamisha olamot. All the five internal aspects of all the five worlds, which we state, and interesting is one of the few times he refers to them instead of as Naran Chai, from below to above, he refers to as Yach Naran, which is Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh, first two from above to below. Sheba Oto Olam Atzmo. In other words, each and every world has a Naran Chai as its inside element. Each and every world has its consciousness, its personality, its orientation. You want to expand this out to the worlds? Let's go out whenever we do and meet E.T. We're going to go to whatever planet. We're going to see whatever advanced race that is there. Let's say, for example, that advanced race, which is even more technologically advanced than us. Let's just say, for argument's sake, is a race of octopus. Well, why can't an octopus be intelligent? Octopus on Earth are very intelligent. Maybe on an advanced race, whatever soul level is within the extraterrestrial octopus, God is blessed, and they have become conscious and aware and learned, and in the words that Rabbi Pinchas Horowitz and Sefer Brit would have said, Ba'alei Sechel Umeda, they are masters of intelligence and even science. But they're octopus. What would their technology be like? What are their interests? What are their personalities like? What are their emotions like? What is their intellect like? What is their concept of philosophy like? I'm going to take a real wild guess that's going to be radically different from ours. But they, following the same pattern as us, will have their own orientation of Naran Chai, which is applicable within the context of that application of Naran Chai, which is appropriate and applicable to them, whoever, wherever, whatever they are. That is how it is in all the different realms and all the different domains. So if and when we ever, in quote, make contact, we might find that a physiological and biological level, such radically, absolutely different types of life. We might find that they think and feel very, very different from us. But we'll be surprised to find that they do think. We'll be surprised to find that they do feel. We'll even be surprised to find that they do imagine and have some semblance of spirituality and the like, because they have a Naran Chai, as do we, is as applicable to them as it is to us. The Chitzoniut, the external aspects of all the worlds, are its vessels, its bodies, and within that body, as we said, is the vessels or the garments for the Yechida soul, the Chaya soul, the Neshama soul, the Ruach soul, and the Nefesh level of soul. What kind of body? I don't know. Physical body? Astral body? Octopus body? Different strokes. Nimsata. So thus we find. Ki kol ha'olamot hema bechinat partzuf echad me'as ha'sefirot levad. All the different worlds form a complete whole partzuf of 10 sefirot. Adam kadmon kol bechinotav hu ha'keter shebehem. And that partzuf which we called Adam kadmon, we said that is the element of the keter of everything. Remember what Adam Kadmon is. It's the seed, the element, the prima matter. We're all familiar with the four types of matter, right? Call them arma, fire, air, water, earth. Well, there's a fifth kind corresponding to Adam Kadmon. We call that in the Greek language, hiuli, the prima matter. We might know that as the chi, the energy, the force. So that's the ultimate essence of everything. So that's the Keter level, all right, of all the worlds. And then you have the Atzilut level, which is the Abba level, the Beria level, which is the Ima level, and the Yetzira level, which is the Za level, the Asiya, which is the Nok level. The correspondences of everything here we have spoken about in many of our Kosher Torah classes, the basic concepts and terminology lessons, amongst many others. So all of these are what they are. V'yish atzmut, shehu apenimiyut. We have the essence, which is what we call on the inside, and the vessel, which is on the outside. Body, soul, force, form, light, vessel. U'betoch kulam, within everything is the light of the Ein Sof, God, the unknowable. Everything. Kulam nikra'im ba'arako, Kilim v'chitzoniut levad. In relationship to God, the unknowable, the Ein Sof, all of existence is His kli. All of existence is His, in quote, chitzoniut. Even the level of Adam Kadmon, even the level of the halal, everything is outside of the Ein Sof, and therefore is a cloak or a garment thereof. V'hu levado shebetocham atzmut l'pnimiut. The Ein Sof, we said, is the ultimate essence within everything. And that, B'sha'at Tova, the grace of God, concludes chapter 19 of Datu Tfuna. So just to sum up, inner and outer. We've gone to explain all the different parameters, all the different relationships, how we fit into it all, how this enables us to relate to the universe, to God, to one another. Everything is intertwined. Everything is interconnected. Somebody in text here is making a reference to an old episode from the original William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy series of Star Trek, wherein which they met a type of a life form called a Horta. How many of you remember that episode of Star Trek? It was a rock creature that would literally, I think it was like a silicone-based life form or something, as opposed to the carbon-based that we are. And Spock shot it with the phaser and wounded it. And of course, Captain Kirk called Bones, you know, Dr. McCoy down, you can send, you know, to work with it, to try to heal it. He didn't know how to fix a rock, so he brought some cement. So he cemented back the rock. All right. And it was, I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer. You know, an old famous, you know, Dr. McCoy joke. But the point that he's making here in the text, of course, is this is a life form so radically different from our own. But when Spock does a Vulcan mind meld with the rock creature, finds out that it has thoughts and feelings, and that by communicating through Spock's mind meld, they're able to communicate in dialogue, and they create a whole new symbiotic relationship between humans and the Horta, which benefits everybody. Well, needless to say, the Horta and Star Trek are fantasy. But I'm not so sure such other relationships in the reality realm are fantasy at all. Oh, no, I think they're quite real. So, that is that. So anyway, on that note, Be'ezat Hashem, we're going to conclude this lesson, this series now in chapter 19. We'll pick up in a new chapter very soon, and like almost like a new series, I guess. So we can pick up on different topics. But let's understand the interconnection of all, because that is the most important lesson. What that means, you can interpret it superficially in a million different ways. But when you get to the depth, like Rabbi Chaim concluded, everything sums up in the Ein Sof, which is the source of all. Everything is a singularity. It's the center which all spokes of the wheel are connected to. We understand that, and we will understand a profound lesson in the universal applications of the teachings of the Torah. And that is, of course, what our Kosher Torah School is here to provide. So on that note, again, I want to thank you all for joining me for this class. I want to bid you all blessings, thanking you all again for your generous support of our school. If it wasn't for you, we couldn't be here for everyone. Thank you again, all. God bless. Good night. Laila tov. Buenas noches. Shalom.